Yeah, just another Wednesday. Or is it? It's the news, according to me. Yeah, it is Wednesday. But this is a Wednesday like no other Wednesday, because this is the only Wednesday that will happen on this Wednesday. I got lost in thought there. I was Wednesday, August 10th, 7:57 a.m. in the morning. For those of you on the East Coast, that's not that early. For those of you on the West Coast, that's pretty early. Yeah, you're probably not up yet. I don't have a whole lot of West Coast listeners, I don't believe. It's just kind of looked at that breakdown. It doesn't happen a whole lot. It's mostly, it's all over the place, but I have to confess, it's mostly most of the Midwest. There's a big part of it. There's a smattering. It's a smattering of people all over the country. Welcome to the show, folks. If you haven't ever tuned in before, this is the show where I sip on my chai with Cinnabon creamer in it, and I tell you what my opinion is of the news, and you listen intently and it's like hanging on a cliff. You can't almost anticipate every breath I take. That's what happens, because it's so intense. This is intense. I'm the guy who points out the stuff that you don't want to look at. Most people want to ignore and just go about their lives. And look what that's done for us in the last 50 years. You know, we have to remain positive and just, you know, believe. I'll get into that a little bit later, but there is a certain amount of that we have to do. I mean, we can't just, you know, dwell on this stuff. Well, I do, but I do it so you don't have to. But the problem with so much of what's going on right now is that people have ignored what's going on for so long. And now we're stuck here in this situation where the progressives have been very progressive. They are much like terrorists in that they only have to be right once. They only have to get the mission accomplished once. Those who are defending the nation have to get it right every time. The relentless attacks. You see, we're in a defensive posture here, folks, to defend the Republic. The progressives, those on the left, are aggressively and consistently, monotonously, annoyingly, lots of Lees in there. Lee is one of the most, I think Lee is actually one of the most common names in the world. That's, you know, if you include, you know, China and all those. We have a big show for you today. Big show. Had a little show last night. I didn't get up as early as I wanted to this morning, mostly because I was up late last night doing a show, and that, among other things. I mean, it's been a little hard for me to sleep lately. I've been kind of exhausted just because of all the personal stuff that's going on in life lately. But the whole raid thing, the raid down at Mar-a-Lago and everything that's going on there, and just all the other news. I got a couple clips of Nancy Pelosi. And there's just a couple of things. I keep hearing people talk about, and of course, Trump's back in the news now because of all this. The left doesn't get it. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a life coach, financial advisor. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not even a rodeo clown. I've always wanted to be one, but I'm not. Well, not always wanted to be one. There's been mornings I've woken up and I don't want to be one today. I have this is the show where I just talk about me and my opinions, and then you enjoy it. I think I've already covered that. We're not going to go over that again. I have a couple of things I want to talk about this morning. One is Nancy Pelosi and some of her comments about just different things. She recently, I think she responded to the raid, as it's being called, the raid. End all raids. I'm going to look on this thing and see if if I can find her response, actually find her response. Looks like Mark Dice just put out a video. I hate coming on before I see his video because sometimes that really inspires me. But let's see here. Let's just put in Nancy Pelosi Trump raid response. Let's see if I get anything at all. Yeah, here we are. Nancy Pelosi talks. Yeah, this is, of course, the problem is this thing's like 12 minutes long. I'm not going to play that whole thing. I'm not going to go any further. This is, I've got a few things about that. I also want to play a few things. I keep hearing people talk about, of course, because of Trump being back in the news, everybody's talking about, well, but he's so divisive. We need somebody else like a Ron DeSantis or a Mike Pence. First of all, Mike Pence has no shot at this at all. He has done himself in with the electorate and the GOP right now. It would take a massive, massive effort for the establishment GOP, which they would go for a Mike Pence. Which makes you kind of wonder here, doesn't it? But it would take a massive effort for them to be able to get him out there as the nominee. There's just no way that's going to happen. There are other individuals out there who are much more attractive to the GOP base right now. The thing that you have to keep in mind, and I've said this on the program before, but I will say it again because I've said it, you know, if I've said it once, it's worth repeating because I said it. So it's got to be worth saying again. The mere fact, and this is pointed out by, I even have a video, an audio clip here. I think I have it, actually I have it on my thing here. This is an interview. It was Pete Buttigieg. I believe this may have been before the 2016 election, whenever all the candidates were out there running around. Or was it 2020? I can't remember. It might have been 2020. I guess it would have been 2020 because Hillary pretty much had it socked up in 2016. And he's being asked about Mike Pence. And he's been asked questions about, you know, how it was having him as the governor here in Indiana while he was trying to be the mayor in South Bend and how terrible, you know, Mike Pence was. And the guy finally asks him, you know, the moderator actually asked him, well, would you think Pence would make a better president than Trump? And he just about throws up. He can't, it's just like from one, do I have to choose between those two? You see, Pence is just as much of a monster because of his association with Trump. And he makes that very clear. I'll play that clip in a little bit. The other clip that I think is, the other thing that's worth talking about here is that, you know, everybody's talking about DeSantis. Well, DeSantis doesn't have as much baggage. They'll find the baggage. They'll make the baggage. If nothing else, they'll make up baggage. You don't seem to... You see, people who say these kinds of things don't seem to have a clue what the left is about. They will make stuff up. As soon as you have an R behind your name, now, one of DeSantis's biggest issues is going to be that he was a Trump supporter. His ads, when he was running for governor of Florida, a lot of his ads included Trump's policies and talking about Trump and we need to elect Trump. So a lot of this stuff, they're just going to tag it right onto him, just like you're going to hear Pete talk about Mike Pence. That's enough to drill somebody into the ground with the media. They're going to say this guy is no different than Trump. He's as much of a racist and a monster And they'll come up with all the legislation that's passed in Florida and all the things that has happened down there, and they're going to drag all that stuff out, all the can't say gay bill, all that stuff is going to come out. And you're going to find out he's just as much of a monster, if not more, than Donald Trump. He's even more of a monster. He's worse. He's more divisive. You see, it's not those on the right that are causing this divisiveness. It's the left shouting and screaming and having delusions of this Trump derangement. I'm sorry, I bumped my microphone. Having these derangement issues. And they wonder why these people are so polarizing. Because you're causing the polarization. You sit there for 24 hours a day telling us, since the last election, since 2020, what have you seen on MSNBC? You see, they don't get it. They keep going after Trump. The thing that they don't understand, the only way to defeat Trump is to ignore him. But they can't do that because he lives in their head 24/7. They can't do it. They can't stand it. Now, I'm not saying we should defeat Trump. I'm not saying that at all. But they don't get, if they had half a brain, they would understand who this man is and how to defeat him. Much like I understand who the left is and how to defeat them. But I'm not going to get into that. I can, and I can stand here and I can tell them how to do it. I could give them direct, detailed instructions, but they won't listen to me because I'm a conservative white man, and they won't listen to me. Which is why I feel free to talk about it, because I know that they won't take my advice. So it doesn't matter what I say, but I'm letting you know that their biggest flaw is that they can't see past their nose because it's on fire. They're just enraged. Rage does a weird thing. People are unable to. Two things that will cause people to lose track of any sense of semblance of, but one, self-awareness, and two, rational thinking. Those two things are panic and rage. You will do things in a panic when you let yourself start to panic. You will do the most irrational things. When you let yourself become enraged, you will do things that you would never. You'll look back and watch yourself on a video, watch someone else do the same exact thing and say, why did they do that? Why would they be so stupid to do something like that? And they have both rage and a panic going on right now on the left. And they cannot see straight. They are acting out, reacting, and not responding to what's going on around them. And I'm here to tell you that's a very dangerous combination. A person with both of those things going on, or a group of people, when there's a mass situation like this, they can burn their own place down. They can burn down the country thinking that they're standing for what's right, all the while destroying everything around them that they claim that they care about and don't even know it. They don't even realize it. They have no self-awareness whatsoever on this. Can't see past the consequences of their actions. Nancy Pelosi made this comment that China is one of the freest nations on the planet. It's according to some organization that she found, some clip, news clip, probably funded by a Chinese, Chinese organization funded. According to the Chinese, they're one of the freest countries in the world. Oh, well, take their word for it then. I saw it on Sky News Australia. They made some kind of comment, and it was one of those reports. I don't like this about Sky News Australia. They have these little reports they put out once in a while where they play a clip, and then they have music in the background. They play all this text you have to read. Well, I typically have my videos set on 1.25 or 1.5 times the speed, and I can't read that fast. Plus, I'm usually when I'm listening to YouTube videos is when I spend a lot of time driving, so. A lot of times I'll put the videos on. I'll even put them on a little queue thing type thing, so I can just I can just pick a whole bunch of them before I start driving. I just push the play button, and the next thing you know, I'm listening to like 5 or 6, 7 or 8, 10 videos, whatever. Just let them play over the car Bluetooth thing. So I like to be able to listen. In most newscasts, you don't have to see what's going on; you just have to listen to it. So it's like listening to the radio, but it's what I choose to listen to. And so I'm listening to all these news reports and everything that everybody's saying. And unfortunately, this is one of those deals where they had all this text, and I was trying to read it. I didn't have time to go in and change the. And I wasn't driving, by the way, at the time. I was actually laying in bed, but I was too busy laying in bed. Didn't have time to go in and change the speed back to what I could, well, the speed of my reading, where I can read what they're saying. But I heard her say it. I mean, they played the clip of her actually saying China's one of the freest nations in the country and in the world, according to whatever she said, nation poll, whatever it was. Really. There have been some interesting questions asked to the Chinese ambassador recently. Some people who are calling him on the carpet about Taiwan and what they're doing there. And he was extremely nervous. He was very good at speaking, and you could almost not hear the nervousness in his voice. When he first starts talking, he's clearing his throat 5 or 6 times, which is a dead giveaway. But then later on, even as he's speaking and he's giving his statement, the nervousness in his voice, and I had the impression it wasn't just nervousness of public speaking. It wasn't that he was nervous in front of this group of people. You can tell he's nervous about what he says because he will be punished severely from those up above. His leaders are listening and watching him very carefully and closely. If he says the wrong thing, he's done. That's the impression I got from it. That was the kind of nervousness that was in his voice. Now, back to this whole issue of Trump now being back in the news. The left cannot leave him alone. The left has to keep him in the news because that's how they get ratings. The walls are closing in. They're just about now, this raid is actually something that they hope that their listenership or whatever they call it anymore. I don't know what to call it anymore. Views. The ratings. So they can charge more for advertising. They hope that this does it for them. Now, there's a whole lot of issues, a whole lot of problems with this whole thing. And the biggest one, of course, you hear the Republicans always coming back and say, well, they never went after Hillary Clinton. Never. Now, you have to realize, Hillary Clinton was never president. She was just the Secretary of State. She didn't have executive privilege. Now, documents that she created, she had the right to classify or declassify them. However, the president could override anything that she did in her office, and he could say that everything you produce is now, all the documents you produce are classified until I say so. And that's the way it would be. The president has executive authority over classification and declassification of secret, top secret documents. Just the wave of his hand, he can just do that. The president does. Now, the problem with this is when you go from one administration to the next, you have certain powers that, let's say, President Obama classified a bunch of information. Trump steps into office. He can declassify that. However, the information that is allowed to be in the archives, National Archives, then gets passed on to the next administration, and they have the right to publicize or not any of those things. Declassify, whatever they want to do. Now, it has long been a tradition that they would not open up records from the previous administration in terms of personal records and all the things that went on, unless it was just historical data. That's not what's happening now. You see, we're not in a situation anymore where the country care, you know, is not important anymore. They want to destroy what the United States stands for, what we grew up as children. For those of you who are over 35 years old, what we learned to be the foundation of our nation, what we're all about as a country, why it is a unique, exceptional country. They don't like that at all. They hate the Constitution. You can't, if you can't see that in terms of the First Amendment and the Second Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, anything that has to do with individual liberties, they despise. They're the ones who say, well, I'm going to leave the country if this person gets elected, I'm leaving the country, and then they don't leave. Why don't they leave? Interestingly enough. Try to go to Iran and talk about the country there. Talk about the leaders there the way you talk about the leaders here. If you don't like the leader there, go ahead and talk about him. Start your little podcast over there and see what happens to you. You can't even stand out in the streets in Russia with a little, or apparently not even in Canada. These people are despots. They're the ones calling for the fascism. They're the ones calling for censorship of individuals. The outing of them from society. I'm telling you, the JFK Democrats do not exist anymore. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, or last night. The channel Redacted, I want to be very clear, they're very popular, and they've got a lot of videos out there, and they're becoming, they've got a lot, of, supposedly now, they've got a lot of viewership all of a sudden, very quickly. Very strange. Like I've said, there's always been something that's been a little unsettling about these people. Now, they did actually admit yesterday to being, I'm not going to call them leftists, but the leftists, in my opinion, are the ones who are the radical leftists, like AOC and some of those people. There's something beyond an agenda. Now, let me try to clear this up and try to explain what this is, where I can have a conversation with a JFK Democrat, and I can't have this conversation with the woke individuals in the world who think that they've taken on this phony morality. It's a morality where they have to show you their virtue and show you that they're on the right side of history. We're on the right side of history. Really, let's look back. Speaking of history, it's funny you mention history. Let's look back at history and see what has happened to societies who've gone down the path. You think this is just unique in one of the modern society who's never, we're forging the way of this new utopia? No. There's nothing new under the sun. This is exactly the same philosophy, the philosophical stuff that was going on when Rome collapsed from within. An extremely powerful army. They were invincible. They ran the world. And they collapsed from within. Life was comfortable. They had time to sit around and talk about gender issues. There was a bill, in fact, I didn't realize this, but there was an amendment pasted onto this latest bill, this Inflation Reduction Bill, the Soda Pop and Cookies for Everyone Bill, the Lollipops and Flowers for Everyone to Smell and Taste Bill. They name these bills arbitrarily, just nothing. It means nothing. I have to have a good name for it. We got the gas prices down. They're still $2 more a gallon than they were. They're still twice as much as they were 2 years ago. But we won't get into that. See what a great job we're doing? Yeah. It had nothing to do with them, actually, but that's a whole side point. Where was I going with all this? We had... I did have a point. I'm sure I had a point at some point in there. There's a point there somewhere. I think you know where I'm going. I'll just leave it at that. You're smart enough to know where I was going. As I'm mumbling around here, I'll remember what it is at some point. Yes, the amendment. That's what I was going to talk about. The amendment was pasted onto this bill, the Inflation Reduction Bill Act or whatever it's called. They were going to paste this on, and it was going to say that something to do with the IRS agents and how they weren't going to be able to use this funding to go after anybody making $400,000 or less a year. And not a single Democrat voted for that amendment. Not one. So in one side of their mouth, they're telling you this is only for people who are rich. They're just going after the rich. They're not going after the middle class or the upper middle class. They're only going after the 1% to get those millionaires and billionaires. That is not what this is about. If it would have been, they would have all voted for this and said, yes, see, we hold to the, because that's what we're saying, right? Out of this side of our mouth, that's what we're saying. And out of this side of our mouth, we're saying, no, we're not going to vote for that bill that keeps the IRS agents from going after you. By the way, the majority of audits in this nation are done on people who make less than $50,000 a year. Do you think that's going to stop? Because the average, when you look at this, let's look at average household income in the United States. Average household income. Average household income. I think this is, I don't want to just know 1 year. Median household income by state is the average income in the United States. The balance. Let's look at that. Yeah, we'll take a look at that. See what it looks like. Oh, I have to put people in groups. Groups for which census reports average family incomes. Yeah, that's great. We want to start breaking things down in the group. We can't just know the average income is. Median household income dropped to $67,000 in 2020, declining from $69,000 in 2019. Median household income has been steadily rising since 2010, so this was the most significant drop since then. Of course, 2020, what happened? We know what happened in 2020. Now, the That was only $2,000. I'm surprised it didn't go down more than that. Let's see here. We've got, so that's the average household income, $69,000. So that's, of all the 100 million people working, which is less than that now, but I'm just going to use that figure because it's easy and it's round. About $70,000 a year is what is normal in a normal kind of normal economy or a good economy. Household income. That's the average. So there are people who are making way more than that, driving this median income up. But the vast majority of people make significantly less than that. You're talking in the 50 to 60,000 range per year. And folks, I got to tell you, that's just enough to get by. If you have the we're talking about the average family has like it's 3.1 people are in it or something, whatever it is, about three people per family. 3 or 4 people per family, which is why we have a decline in our population, by the way. And the interesting part of this is how they don't see that this is when you do the numbers, there's no way you can hire 87,000. Now, first of all, here's an issue. Here's a problem. Where are they going to get 87,000 workers? People aren't showing up to work anywhere. The labor force is clamoring for people to work for it. And now all of a sudden you're going to hire 87,000 more people. And they're going to claim that they created 87,000 jobs with your tax dollars. Well, great. Thanks for creating those jobs with my money. You're investing my money in your business. Thanks. The business of politics. The business of government. And it's not even a good part of government. You see, tax collectors are not exactly the best investment we can make. The best investment you can make in society is infrastructure. When it is truly done properly, infrastructure is actually a very good investment in societal return. Roads and bridges, all those kinds of things that actually do help society function. Those are huge returns. They potentially can have huge returns. The problem is politicians get involved. They play favorites. They put things out for, quote, bid, much like they will for all these cars they're going to buy for the, I guarantee they're all going to be green cars. And I, you know, that's going to be between Ford and GM and Chrysler as to whether they, what company they make. Because they're going to probably buy, 40,000 cars. We're talking billions of dollars here floating around all of a sudden again that the Democrats want to control. They love, even the idea of reducing taxes. There was something put in the, somebody tried to put something in this bill that would reduce tax. They didn't want that. They're all about raising tax. Of course, they always say, every time they come up with one of these big, huge bills, this is all balanced. This is all budget balanced. We know how we're going to pay for this. They play all kinds of games because all the money that's out there now. Well, we have this fund and that fund, and we have all this funds, all these funds running around. How all of a sudden do we have all this money running around? Because they put it into place. They're playing this game of cards. It's like a person who, I've known people like this, and I'm guilty. When I was younger, I was guilty of this. I fell into this trap really easily, and it's very easy to do. Because you get drunk on spending. You want to be able to just buy whatever you, when you see it, you want to be able to buy it. I had several credit cards. And I would buy something with one credit card, and I'd make the payments on it, of course. And then I'd get an application for a new credit card. They'd say, oh, if you transfer your balance over to this credit card, you will give you interest free for, you know, 6 months or whatever. So I'd transfer my balance over to that one. Well, now I've got, an open, wide open credit card again. I can still make the payments on. I had no problem making the payments on it. 100 bucks a month or whatever I was making, or 30 bucks a month, whatever, ridiculous. It was only take me 20 years to pay it off. So I'd see another tool or see another something, I'd go out and buy that one. I just make another payment, another 30 bucks. Easy peasy. I'm making, enough money. I can make these $30 here and $70 there, $15 there. Next thing you know, it's adding up to about $1,000 a month. You don't see it because it doesn't come in one bill. So then all of a sudden I get it. So now I've got awesome credit. I'm paying all my bills and I got all these credit cards. Well, we're going to send this guy another application for a credit card. We'll approve him. In fact, we'll just send him a check. If all he has to do is cash it, next thing you know, he's got a credit card. He's got this line of credit. Well, of course you do. You go out and cash the check and you go out and buy something else. Buying all this stuff. It's the American way. And you realize, I'm kind of in a corner here. So you go out and get a home equity loan or get some kind of a 90-day note or 6-month note or whatever with the bank. I just get an unsecured note for a point. Oh, yeah, sure. Okay. I'll go out and buy this. Pay off all your credit cards. You still get that note to go. But now guess what? You got all these credit cards now. They're just wide open. Next thing you know, you're $15,000 or $20,000 in credit card debt. Now, to my defense, during some of this, I was doing some of this. I had a good paying job. And I was using all these funds. Didn't start off this way. I kind of developed this habit before I even started the business. I had started a business and I was using the credit card. I was leveraging my business with the credit card, which I had done in the past. I had actually had some success with this when I had started something else back in the 90s. I had started something, half of what I financed was with a credit card. And I used that financing. It was just very easy, very flexible to use that. And I had like an $8,000 credit card or whatever it was. And I think I was financing my business startup with that thing. And it worked because I was making enough money at the business to keep the payments rolling and keep things going. However, the credit card company was making more money than I was. I mean, I was able to pay the bills, but I wasn't making any money. All my creditors were making more money than I was. They were making a percentage. But I was able to do it, which unfortunately was a bad habit I developed. Starting another business in late 2000, right before the 2008 crash, I had developed the same habit. I was using the credit cards to purchase things for resale, goods to be sold, things that I was building and working on and reselling. I was using that as my financing, my floor planning. And it worked until the economy crashed and the products that I was getting, the actual product I was having made for me, the main heart of everything I was doing, made by a company up in Minnesota, was not making them to my specifications. I didn't know that until the product started coming back, started being returned by and being complained about online. Next thing you know, I'm in a world of hurt. I've got to replace all these motors. And the 2008 economy kind of slowed things down to the point where I was able to shut things down with the understanding that, the 2008 economy just took me out. But I think that I think I could have weathered that storm had I not had the issues with, and I probably would have had a really rather large business today had I been able to keep it going. However, because that failed and because other things happened, you look back on it and you're like, I would not be where I am today doing what I'm able to do now that is much more independent. I learned a good lesson through all of that. I didn't go to college. I went to 1-year college, Bible college. But I didn't go, I didn't get a good degree in any kind of engineering or anything like that, or business management. I've learned business. My dad had a business when I was growing up. He didn't really teach me a whole lot about business, but I learned it kind of by osmosis. See, I was helping him run the business. And so some of these things, the life lessons that we learn, you know, you can go to college and you can spend $80,000 on an education and get a sheepskin and go out there and flip burgers at McDonald's because you don't have any experience. Or you can go out and get the experience and sometimes pay deeply for that experience. And you end up, everybody around you saying, well, how do you know all this stuff? How did you learn all this stuff? The hard way is how I learned all this stuff. I found myself recently on a couple of boards for business startups. You have a little phone conversation with somebody, or you happen to have a chat with somebody, and you're talking about, you know, you start asking them questions like, have you done this? Have you done that? Do you make sure you've done that? Make sure you don't do this. I've done this once, and or don't. I know that there are people who do this and people who do that. Just try to stay with this business model. Start giving them some advice. Just talking through things just on a matter-of-fact basis. Next thing you know, they're like, you know, we need to have you on our board. Because you ask some good questions and you got some good insight here. So this is stuff this has blindsided us. We would have even seen this at all. And because of that, and then they ask you, how did you know? How do you know all this stuff? Now, these are guys who've gone to college. College can give you some tools, and it's a good place to get some instruction and get off on the right foot. It's kind of like training wheels. You know, you can kind of helps keep you up. Kind of helps give you some direction, gives you some to know what tools are out there, what's available. But the experience of making decisions goes 100 times past that. Somebody who's lived through, now sometimes it can be bad. You get a hold of somebody who's had a bad experience in business, who got burned by something that normally would work fine, and they're going to give you some bad advice. In other words, something happened to them, and so they have a personal emotional block from that thing. And they're not going to tell you to do something or give you some advice on something or what the pitfalls of this or that. They can't disconnect themselves from the emotional side effects that they're suffering from it. So if you ever get some in a situation where you're having someone give you advice, make sure that they've got an objective, rational opinion about that, whatever it is you're asking them about. Because quite frankly, it's very easy for someone to inject their own personal baggage into a situation. It can be detrimental and dangerous. Look at what we're seeing right now in government. They are injecting their rage and their fear, their panic, into a situation that has nothing to do with the nation. Now, and again, listen to their words. If Donald Trump is elected, he will destroy our democracy. Whose democracy, really? Now think about this. If the people, if the electorate out there elects Donald Trump through a democratic process, we will lose our democracy. Think about how ironically stupid that is. That's just insanity. The problem is, and here's where the rub comes in. It's their democracy, their definition of what democracy is. Their definition of democracy is you go along with everything that we're telling you to do and what you want, and the nation will be saved because they'll still be leaders and they'll be at the top and they'll have control over all this stuff and be able to make their stock picks based on what Nancy Pelosi does in Taiwan, where the largest chip manufacturing nation on the planet. This is the kind of thing that we're dealing with these individuals. They are drunk on power and control. And they're also drunk on alcohol and other things too as well, but that's beside the point. So I'm going to play this audio clip. This is Pete Buttigieg. I have to answer this text real quick. Pete Buttigieg, where did it go? Well, let's see here. There it is. There's my photos. Here we go. All right, we're going to play this.
In regard to
this is Pete Buttigieg being asked a question at like an open house, town hall type thing.
In comparison to the average voter or the voter in Indiana, let's say, are his views an aberration or is this really representative of the state? Or are most people more like you in your more liberal views about us as humans?
Please don't judge my state by our former governor.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. We elected him.
I think those views are so out of line with where anybody is. And look, I got to tell you, this
where
was
anybody
kind of a
is.
Difficult journey for a lot
not
of
just
people.
Indiana.
And if you were conservative and you're from an older generation and you were brought up by people you trusted to believe that it was morally wrong to be, for example, in a same-sex marriage, and then the pace of change has happened so quickly, I've benefited from the pace of that change. But I also understand how disorienting it must be for people to have gone through that. So when we had this huge and painful controversy in 2015, when Mike Pence divided our state with this so-called Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which was really a license to discriminate,
bull,
provided you remembered to mention your religion as an excuse for discriminating. That's what that was. When that happened,
how does that?
We'll talk about that. To invite people to come onto the right side of history, but wanted to get there. To feel that we weren't going to judge them because they had struggled. We just wanted them on our side. But the amazing thing that happened in Indiana was that Democrats and Republicans rose up. There was a coalition of mayors, business leaders, sports leaders. I think even NASCAR put out a statement saying they were disappointed. And the business Republicans in our state revolted right alongside us progressives. And so that shows me that there is a belief in just decency that really does stand against that kind of social extremism. And my hope is that same decency can be summoned from our communities in red states and blue states to change what's happening in the politics of our country before it's too late.
Do you think...
Yeah. So a whole lot of things there said need to be addressed.
Vice President Pence would be a better or worse president than President Trump?
Oh. Does it have to be between
politics
those?
Is about choices, man. You know that.
I mean, I don't know. It's really strange because I used to at least believe that he believed in our... I've disagreed with him ferociously on these things, but I thought, well, at least he believes in our institutions and he's not personally
corrupt. Pay close attention to what
then,
he says here.
But then how could he get on board with this presidency? How could
there
somebody
you go.
Who...
Association
you know,
with he, Trump.
His interpretation of scripture is pretty different from mine to begin with. Okay, my understanding of scripture is that it is about protecting the stranger and the prisoner and the poor person and that idea of welcome. That's what I get in the gospel. And
that's all he gets in the gospel. That's what he
and his has a lot more to do with sexuality and, I don't know, a certain view of rectitude. But even if you buy into that, how could he allow himself to become the cheerleader of the porn star presidency? Is it that he stopped believing in scripture when he started believing in Donald Trump? I don't know.
Now, there are people who are telling these people when to clap, by the way. You have to understand there are instigators in the audience who will clap when he says certain things. They get the clapping started. So much of what he's saying here has, you know, this was a couple of years ago. So it needs to be addressed. And I don't have, I just frankly don't have time on the show today. I got 10 minutes left. So it's not enough time to really dig into this. But the main point I want you to walk away from here is it doesn't matter who has an R behind their name. You want to talk about, well, at least we can get somebody else up there who's not as divisive as Donald Trump. What you're going to find is all of a sudden that next person is going to be just as divisive. So don't kid yourself for a minute thinking that, well, you know, we need Trump back, but let's find somebody else who's Trump-esque, who doesn't have the baggage. And I hear that all the time on the right. Now, the other problem we've got here, Fox News, at least up in the management section, is trying to do what I've talked about the left should do, is they're trying to ignore Donald Trump. Now, when something like this FBI raid happens, all of a sudden he's back in the news and they cannot avoid it. Now, at some point, you would hope that they recognize that they are playing with vipers here. They're trying to appease the enemy by just ignoring them and going along with, you know, the status quo, because the GOP establishment is going to win at the end of the day, and they want to be connected and on the inside of that group. They want to get the interviews. They want to get the pundits. There are some pundits who seem to be extremely conservative and right wing and all that stuff on the Fox News channel. People who are supposedly on the right on MSNBC and CNN and all the other networks are hacks. They're look at Morning Joe. Supposedly a Republican all the time. He was never a Republican, folks. He was establishment guy. He was in it for the politics. He was in it for the power. Was never a true patriot in any way, shape, or form. And you can tell, and Mika controls, if you don't think Mika wears the pants in the family, then you're not paying attention to what's going on there. This idea that they're going to appease, get along with, and play nice with the politics of the time, of the moment, and that Trump is on his way out, and we need to move on from that, play nice with the establishment, and we'll just keep going and just play the, you know, we'll be the right wing answer to the leftists. We'll be the south to their north and the yin to their yang. And that's the card we'll play, so that we can kind of, we'll grab that audience. That's the game they're playing right now. At some point, and this is, I actually had a dream about this, that Nancy Pelosi and all the leftists, Schumer and all those people, they're in the pocket of China. So they're getting along with all these individuals. They're getting along with all these people. They're getting paid off. And they're doing everything that they want. And then all of a sudden, when China finally has their death grip around our throats, and they're taking over, at the Chinese, the CCP, not the Chinese people, but the Communist Party, decides they're now stepping in to take over. We have no use for you anymore. And they execute them. And all the while, they're arguing, but we did everything you wanted. And their answer was, we have no use for you anymore. This is about the greater good. This is about the collective society. This is about furthering our vision for the world. This idea that we're going to have a one-world government and there will be no more wars because it's all one government. There's no government fighting another government. There's not going to be any more wars anymore. That idea is so out of touch with humanity. The bad side of humanity, in terms of brother against brother, there will always be fighting and wars. Just, you know, depends on the scale, whether it's one man against another, one family against another, one people group, one ethnos, whatever it is. Unfortunately, that is the world we live in when Christ is not at the head. So I have rambled on today. I don't even know what I'm going to call this show. I don't come up with a show topic and then I come up with some ideas. I have some things in my head that I want to talk about. I don't even remember what it was when I started off this show, what I was going to talk about. I think it was mostly about the idea that Trump is back in the news and left's heads are blowing off. But I also don't I don't really come up with an outline and a show and a production. First segment, I'm going to talk about this. And the second segment, I don't do that. Very rare that I come up with that much material in my head that I really want to. Once in a while, I'll take some notes. It's very rare. Maybe of all the 416 shows I've done, I think maybe there's been five where I've had detailed notes about what I wanted to cover. On the early days when I was on here with Rabbi Rick, we had some show notes, things we want to talk about, and we would cover some stuff. And I would even once in a while produce little songs and stuff. But the TNA to me singers would come in and they'd record. So listen to some of the early episodes, you'll see some of that kind of stuff. It's kind of funny. But lately, you know, it's just been me ranting about the state of the nation, state of the union, state of what's going on, craziness. And so I don't really have a title for each show because I kind of remember what I talked about and then I kind of put it up there. And sometimes I choose wisely, sometimes I don't. But that's the way this show rolls. And I want to thank you for listening to this entire show. It's pretty amazing. If you made it this far, I'm sure you probably maybe you just skipped to the end and heard just to hear this part where I thank you for listening. But I do thank you for listening. And thank you for subscribing, downloading. All those things help the algorithm. Seems like every time I get more downloads, that's, I don't know if Spotify and some of those other platforms, Podbean, stuff like that, I think that they actually push it out there more when there's more downloads. I'm not sure how that works. Rumble has changed some things. Some good news here. Rumble has changed some things and looks like it might be easier for me to do live shows on Rumble. So I may be doing live video shows on Rumble soon. And you will see that I record the whole thing, stop to start, and back again with no interruptions. God bless everybody. Have a great day. Have a great night. It's hump day. We're halfway there, wherever that is. Take care.